Hello, Boulder and the wider world. This is Philip Ogren from the Sharing Boulder podcast, here with another Sharing Boulder Extra. For those of you anxiously awaiting more feature-length episodes, have faith. We have more episodes in the works that we are excited to bring to you. But it is summertime, which means we are going to slow down to a cadence that works for us. In the meantime, I hope you will enjoy this Sharing Boulder exclusive extra. A live-action short film written, directed, produced, acted, and filmed by yours truly, Philip Ogren. One of my core beliefs is that when we learn to share Boulder by moving towards housing and land use policies that are less exclusionary and allow for multifamily and mixed-use development, that we will have a city that is not only more welcoming and attractive to new residents, but we will also have a city that is more beautiful and interesting. A city that allows more people to live in compact, walkable neighborhoods, which will in turn allow more people to live car light and low carbon lifestyles in more sustainable and socially connected neighborhoods. If you are listening to this extra as an audio only podcast, then I will try to bring you along with detailed narration. However, this one is best viewed on YouTube so that you can see video footage of the neighborhood setting. I hope you enjoyed this little excursion. Bring your shades and sun hat because it is summertime in paradise. Or is it? Chapter 1. Daydream Street, in which our hero walks down the street without a care in the world. This true life adventure story takes place on a lovely residential street lined with beautiful single-family homes. Here's a yellow two-story house with an adorable white picket fence themed front porch, followed by a gray house with blue trim which makes for a kind of ocean-themed backdrop for the finely crafted statue of a dolphin displayed in the middle of the front yard. When you get to the corner, you can see several much larger houses which sit proudly above the street. It is difficult to tell just how big these houses might be, but Zillow tells me that they are between 2,000 and 5,000 square feet and range in market value from $2 to $4 million. These folks are living the dream. This lovely daydream of a street we are sauntering through is on 4th Street in the Lower Arapaho neighborhood, which is just a few blocks east of Eben G. Fine Park, a popular summertime destination. Chapter 2, The Non-Starter, in which our hero tees up trouble in paradise. I've been thinking about something Aaron Brockett said in our second episode, quote, "Just to be frank, we are not going to go in and rezone tomorrow and say that you can build apartment buildings in every single family neighborhood. That's kind of a non-starter," end quote. I understand this statement to be absolutely 100% true, and I do not fault him for stating what is a simple fact about the political reality of zoning in Boulder. But if you are a NIMBY who takes comfort in these words, and the thought of apartment buildings being adjacent to these houses on Daydream Street keeps you up at night, then prepare for horrors beyond your wildest nightmares just on the other side of these bushes. Chapter 3. Things You Can Only Imagine, in which our hero can barely catch his breath. Behold, multifamily dwellings. Oh, snap, I just saw a large capital H above a window, which suggests at least 8 units in this monstrosity of a building, which is no doubt occupied by any number of undesirables who take refuge here. Who knows what personal failures have brought these people to live like this and what problems and difficulties they bring to this otherwise perfect street. And oh my, what's this? There's more multifamily housing around the corner, not to mention a multi-unit fancy-schmancy luxury condo building adjacent to the north. You can only imagine how the single-family homeowners on the other end of this street sleep with their guns in their beds for fear of their safety. You can only imagine how much their home values have plummeted in the decades since this dense housing was built. Chapter 4. More Riffraff, in which our hero's scalp starts to tingle. But if you thought that multifamily housing in this neighborhood was unsettling, brace yourself for what comes next. The ultimate insult to the sanctity of single-family homes is just around the corner. It's a business establishment sitting there in plain sight, not even pretending to hide itself. What kind of riffraff is attracted to a place like this? I need to hold my breath because I think I smell cigarette smoke. It figures that it is a hair salon. I wouldn't be surprised if there were people in there right now getting their hair shampooed and their nails done. Why do they have to come here for that sort of thing? Don't these people have homes? Chapter 5, Escape, in which our hero escapes to another stretch of Daydream Street. Let's get out of here. At this point, I cross the street to the relative safety of more single-family homes. And again, it's one lovely house after the next, and I can feel my pace slowing down and my shoulders relaxing. Perhaps due to tireless NIMBY activism, there's no such dense housing over here, and I can walk with a lightness of being as I admire each unique home. But I have let my guard down way further than I ever should have, because nothing can prepare me for what I see next. Not multifamily housing, not luxury condos, not even a hair salon on the corner could harden me to the raw human carnage I'm about to witness when I get my bearings and realize, almost too late, what I have almost stumbled on. Chapter 6, Drugs Everywhere, in which our hero may or may not have nearly stepped on a used needle. Across the street, without shame, stands a building that was clearly once a motel. At first, I decide to bravely approach, but I am unsettled after hearing a woman with a European accent talking into her smartphone, and I realize that I may be walking in on a drug deal. Not wanting any trouble from the hoes and pimps who could be lurking in the grass, ready to jump out and mug me for my GoPro, I turn around for my own safety. I pick up my pace, and as I make my way back to the relative safety of the hair salon, where at least someone may hear my cries for help, I secretly relish the thrill of my brush with death, and look forward to regaling my friends later that night with stories of my adventure into a neighborhood where these two worlds collide. Prologue. If you found this real-life adventure story to be as thrilling and harrowing as I did, then you are going to love my recommendation for more terrifically dramatic and exciting yarns. Go to any planning board meeting. There you will hear fictional stories of future dystopia, where all of the worst-case scenarios are spelled out as imagined by our well-intentioned but not quite grounded in reality NIMBY neighbors. If you thought my story was breathless, then just try to imagine a planning board meeting in which a long-abandoned parking lot is being considered for low-income housing, or a development project is being considered for the 55-foot height limit in exchange for community benefit. Thrilling.